and gentlemen, you are now listening to the Scare Blast podcast. And now here's your host, Lisa Burton.
Hey everybody, welcome to Scare Blast podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Burton, and today I am joined by a science educator and horror movie blogger, Mr. Jason Dupuis. Hi, Jason.
Hi. How are you, Lisa?
I'm good, thanks. Jason and I have had a number of different foibles where I had a scheduling conflict and then he had a scheduling conflict. Yeah. So I'm glad that we finally get to...
Yeah, right at the end of the line here.
Exactly, yeah. Talk about the movie Splinter.
Yes.
Which is a 2008 film and came out on Halloween, which is so
exciting.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
That's cool.
So, Jason, I would love to know, you're a horror movie blogger, so you must like scary movies?
I do, quite a bit.
Okay, yeah. Great. What do you typically reach for?
Pretty much anything. So, if it is, more fantasy, if it's more sci-fi... That's fine with me. I know some people are purists where, even the original Alien, they were like, no, that's sci-fi,
Mm-hmm.
But I like pretty much anything. I like really cheesy, can we swear? Can I swear?
Yeah,
I like shitty.
Absolutely, you can swear,
like
you can spoil,
the
whatever
shittiest horror films up to, some highbrow, art films. So,
cool.
Everything, as long as it makes me think, or it scares me, or it makes me laugh, I'm watching it.
Yeah, that's great. That's funny. I'm so much more of, when you said purist, you took it in a different direction, but the way I took it to mean is I'm more of a supernatural horror purist.
Oh, yeah, right? You can get even more purist.
Yeah.
No, I will watch anything. Typically, I'm not, one of the things that I think about, or that I talk about with horror fans... Mm-hmm. Is the creepy kid trope, creepy kids, sinister with a Bagul and the little kids and whatever. That never, ever does it for me. It's just kids. If they're in slow motion or partially transparent, it's still not scary. It's just some kids.
I
could kick a kid across the room. It's not scaring me.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. And, this is for, the Omen blog or Children of the Corn or something like that, but... It definitely is a trope that I also don't feed into.
Yeah.
It's I can also see those kids acting. You know what I mean?
A lot of times you can. And that really takes you out of it. That is a big problem. But there are, I don't want to disparage every kid movie because The Exorcist, that's
totally.
A classic. But at no point are they trying to use Reagan as the creepy item that you're supposed to be afraid of.
Yeah.
You're afraid of the whole situation. And with Children of the Corn, Malachi and those kids are creepy, but it's not presented in a way where it's just a kid running across a hallway, in the foreground in shadow or whatever, and that doesn't do it for me. Not at all.
Yeah. Or what about, the twins in The Shining? Those girls? I thought those girls were creepy, although that's another situation where often ghost kids, I'm like, oh, but now I just feel bad for you. Kids were killed, or I saw The Others last night, and oh, those kids are just, killed.
Is that Nicole Kidman, Nicole Kidman one? Because there's another one that I always get confused, and it's way older, called The Innocents.
Oh, yeah.
That is a very different story, and it's based on Turn the Screw, but the titles, I always get confused.
Yeah.
So, I remember Nicole Kidman.
Anyway,
and
bringing it all the way back.
Photophobia.
Yeah. that's a crazy part of that movie. So will you please summarize Splinter for us?
Yes, I will. So Splinter is a low-budget film where it focuses on a couple, or at least at the beginning it's focused on a couple who are camping, and one is obviously not super into camping, so he kind of sabotages it, and they're going to go to a motel. On the way, they are... taken hostage, or carjack hostage taking, not terrorists hostage taking, by this scummy, scumbag couple who one is tweaking and her boyfriend's trying to get her off meth or whatever, and they come across some roadkill that is moving and it's clearly dead and there's something wrong with it. It turns out to be the titular Splinter, this infection, this parasite, whatever it is, that reanimates corpses and kills people. And they end up in a gas station hiding out from the infected to try to stay alive.
Yes. That was a great summary of this Thanks. Movie. It's like, to me, this movie was a lot like the movie Tremors.
Yeah, yeah. One of the reasons I love it is because it does blend so many subgenres of horror.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, man versus man, there's man versus nature, you know, like mm-hmm. the thing is from nature, we're assuming, because we're not told it's alien, you know,
mm-hmm.
and there's, it's siege movie, you know, they're stuck in this gas station and everything. I love that it does it so well and so seamlessly.
Yeah.
And you would think if somebody were to describe, like, oh, this movie takes elements from this and this, you'd be like, that's like a shotgun approach, it's going to be like Jack of all trades, master of none style, right?
Yeah.
But it does it so well that you start out with this scumbag criminal who is bad. He is a bad guy. He like hits the woman. I'm blanking on her name, or the character's name.
Mm-hmm.
He hits her with his gun.
Lacey.
Like, Lacey.
Mm-hmm.
That's his girlfriend, right?
Yeah, that's his girlfriend. Dennis. So, Dennis is his outlaw. The outlaw. Polly is
Polly.
The
he
girlfriend.
Hits Polly
gotcha.
With his gun, and like he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, but by the end, mm-hmm. because they've had to. You know, become allies in their fight to stay alive.
Yeah.
You're rooting for this guy too, and you're feeling bad for him. He has
yeah.
gained your sympathies, even though he is a scumbag. He's a bad person, objectively.
I wonder when, I mean, thankfully, I should knock on wood here, I've never been in a situation, like a horrific situation where I would need to team up with someone that, in the nature of social, like the social wild, I would not typically team up with.
Yeah.
Aside from like public school. But it's like, I've never been in that situation, but it's so interesting to me how many movies are based on that thing.
Yeah.
Because that
Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club, yeah. Because then it takes on this element of, you know, world peace kind of in a weird.
I've never thought of it that way, but yeah.
Where
we can all find something that we have in common, right?
Yeah. And my roommate and I, Tyler, he and I for a long time have had a theory, a social theory we call Team Awful versus Team Awesome.
Yeah.
So, and it's a party theory. So if you're at a party with a bunch of people and you're kind of a loner, a very quick way to get yourself into the party is to find someone else who's kind of hanging out or a couple people hanging out and walk up to them and sort of point someone else out and be like, oh, did you guys talk to so-and-so? He's kind of weird, right? Ooh. And then that weird so-and-so is in the corner with another weird so-and-so saying the same thing about you.
Yeah.
So it's Team Awful versus Team Awesome. Either way you look at it, it's like, the weird guys are their Team Awesome versus your Team Awful.
Yeah.
And so in this way, I also think it's all of a sudden where at first you had Team Awesome, which was this romantic couple going camping, where we saw through their lens, what it was like to be hijacked by Team Awful.
Yeah.
And then all four of them become Team Awesome versus Splinter Team Awful.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you just described 60% of my social interactions. All I do is talk to people about how other people are terrible.
Absolutely. Like, that's what socializing is, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what we should do, right?
Yeah.
That's what makes us human.
Yeah, exactly.
But you said through their lens, and I don't know if you noticed, but the color palettes change and the saturation changes.
Mm.
So when we're with them in the woods at the beginning when they're setting up the camp and they're the perfect couple and everything, it's bright, the colors are popping. As soon as we see that other couple, the mm-hmm. criminal couple, the scumbags, it's everything is desaturated, it's all washed out, and they're dark colors, they're much, much higher contrast. And from then on in the film, we don't see those beautiful colors anymore. Like, and it makes sense. I mean, it's getting darker and the film is getting darker.
Somebody that, as I was doing research, realized he doesn't necessarily have a long list of movies he's directed, but he certainly has a long list of special effects credits.
And he has an eye for detail for sure. So one of those things that people say, full disclosure,
mm-hmm.
I know Toby. Like, I lived in the same apartment building with him in L.A., and I know that he is obsessed with detail like that. So he wouldn't, like, when DVD players came out, And I got my DVD player, and I was like, "Love this DVD." And he was like, "I'm gonna wait till they work on the compression a little bit more, and it gets to a little bit higher of a standard before he would even buy a DVD player."
Well, now Jason, I have to know, how did you end up in an apartment building with Toby?
And... His boyfriend at the time, they're not together anymore, went to my high school the year before I was there, and was very good friends with my wife, my now wife, and then girlfriend, and so. We moved out to L.A., and they were like, Paul and Toby, were like, "Oh, there's a place in our building," and Toby put in a good word for me at his work, and I ended up working there as just a production assistant, started off there. So I hung out with Toby a lot, and he is very detail-oriented. He's a great artist. He's super creative. And one of the things that's awesome about his background in digital effects, and that's what he did where he worked. I mean, he did... titles, he did digital stuff, like all working on the computer all day. He did so many practical effects for Splinter, which when I saw it, because by the time he made Splinter, I was gone from LA and I had heard that he was making it, but that's it. And then, you know, he said he had this movie coming out. I pre-ordered it. I was like, "I pre-ordered your movie." And he was like, "I bought you a Blu-ray copy." And I was like, "Oh, well, I pre-ordered it. Sorry."
How fucking cool is that, yeah. Jason? And, that's so cool.
So then when I watched it, I was so happy that he went with practical effects, because we know, like, CG is okay, but it's not practical effects. No. It's not the goods.
It's so good. I mean, the world he creates is just amazing.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. Okay, so this Splinter thing, it doesn't need much, and then once it gets literally under your skin, it takes over and feeds off of your body. It is explored in the movie a little bit how it does that, because our good guy, main character dude named Seth, he is a PhD in biology, which is like serendipitous.
Yeah.
And which I also took issue with because of a couple of science-based things later. Do you have a science degree?
I have a biology education degree. Yeah, so secondary ed biology.
Awesome.
Yep.
I'm a biology major.
Oh.
So looking at this film through that lens then, I'm sure you can appreciate, like, they're in the cooler and all of a sudden it goes away. That should be an instant...
And he's the guy who couldn't figure that out. And it was the criminal.
Yes, it was the criminal that figured it out. And
I think they track my warmth.
Up until this point, Seth, our biology PhD, has been all over it. He's like, "Oh, well, it's kind of like a fungus because it attaches to you. And then, oh, observe how it needs to go in here. And like, ooh, that arm is moving by itself, don't you think?"
Yeah.
And he's examining these dead bodies. He somehow has this sort of creepy clinical approach to examining this thing, which is great for this movie. We needed one like that.
He's the geeky... Like, he's not a hero. He's not going to save your life and carry you from a fire or anything. But, and he was telling his girlfriend, like, all the ages of the trees and everything. Yes. So, yeah.
Which is
well established as the geeky one.
Yes. But it drove me up a fucking wall that he was not the one to figure out. Because watching it, I figured it out.
Yeah.
And I was like... Oh, no.
And when they got in that cooler, I was like, why the hell? Why weren't you in the cooler in the first place?
Yeah, go into the cooler.
Yeah, that's just another safe place inside of a bigger safe place.
Yeah.
It seems like. But then they're shooting.
Right. The other thing that I took issue with, there's a portion where Seth runs out to the cop car.
Well, there's a run.
Right? There's a what?
He doesn't run. Is it when he has the ice?
When it's when
barely
he's...
barely moving and stumbling.
So he's tried to lower his body temperature by being in a bunch of ice, which apparently worked a couple of degrees, which was all it took.
All it took, yeah.
So that also tells us a few things scientifically about this creature, this Splinter creature, is that it specifically is like 98.6 degrees or higher.
Yeah. It goes for the hottest thing. So they're throwing fireworks out of the...
Yeah.
Which also was like, what the fuck? Just light something on fire.
Yeah.
There's plenty of stuff in the gas station to light on fire.
Exactly. And then the boyfriend Seth, wasn't it the boyfriend Seth who, when the girlfriend suggested they just light the woods on fire?
Yeah.
The boyfriend freaked the fuck out.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, no, why would we do that? And she's like, Well, because...
Somebody will come.
Yeah. Somebody will come, save us.
But then their solution, pouring the lighter fluid out of the back door, just seemed poorly conceived. I guess maybe you can write it off as, like, people make dumb decisions when they're afraid for their lives.
Totally, yep. You can absolutely chalk it up to that.
Yeah. I wrote down a quote about arm chopping.
Ooh!
It's okay, we're cutting your arm off. When they tell him, it's okay, we're cutting your arm off. The arm cutting off scene is insane.
Yes.
It's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's it goes back to that, like, we don't know what people would do in these situations.
Mm-hmm.
And they are fucking up this amputation, and it is... intense.
Yes, it is really intense. So let me ask you a couple questions about this movie. What you think? So was the splinter thing earthly or alien?
I don't know, and I don't want to guess. Like I like the ambiguity. I think that's awesome. You know, when we don't necessarily have to be given everything in a horror film, and we can, like, you might think, you know, oh, maybe it's alien, you know, mm-hmm. but I'm thinking, like, oh, there's some part of nature that we haven't discovered yet that,
yeah.
or maybe it has adapted and now it can use people or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the great things about some of the horror movies that leave those questions for us to answer, you know, so, and for, you know, like, I have my ideas, I do, and they're nature-based, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
But you might have a totally different idea, and somebody else might have a totally, like, oh, whoa, I didn't think of that, you know, like, it came from somewhere else. So,
So do you think it was, in fact, a fungus type?
That's kind of where I was going with it. Yeah, like,
okay.
something like that, because you do see sometimes, and I don't know if they're funguses or what, but I've seen that growing around old wood, and it
mm-hmm.
it looks exactly like that splinter.
Yeah.
It sticks out, and it's like spiky. It's much smaller, and it's not as rigid. If you touch it, it just crumbles. But,
yeah.
I mean, it looks kind of like that. So that's kind of where I was thinking, like, whatever that thing is, a mold or a fungus.
Or a lichen or a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where I was,
yeah.
I was thinking.
What? The clicking of the beast, whatever it is. Like... when it infects you, it has a clicking noise. What is that clicking?
I thought that was like, it was the little spikes,
little spikes.
Clicking together, like rubbing together. Like maybe they're not super smooth, like, you know, like.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
they
little ridges
little...
on the side click together.
Cool.
That's what I was thinking.
It was spooky. So if you were going to rate this movie in splinter animated hands, you can give it, yep,
okay.
you can give it. 10 splinter animated hands means it's a great horror film. And 1 splinter animated hand is not a great horror film. How many splinter animated hands would you give it?
I would give it 8 splinter animated hands.
Ooh, okay.
And I may be biased. I like Toby a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a great film, and I've seen it now 5 or 6 times. I recommend it to people.
Yeah.
I really think it's under... appreciated or underknown, at least. So when I talk to horror fans, they're like, no, I think I might remember seeing the trailer, but mostly people haven't seen it. So
I
really like proselytizing about this movie.
All right. Are you ready for trivia?
Yay.
Here we go. Number one. There's a line in the movie that I believe Seth, our nerdy PhD bio person, says. He says, it tracks us like blank without blank.
Mm.
Do you happen to know or have a guess?
It tracks us like blank without blank?
Mm-hmm. It tracks us like blank without blank.
No, I don't know this one.
Okay, I'll give you the last word.
Okay.
It tracks us like blank without water. They were trying to figure out how it moves, how it finds you.
Like mangroves?
That's a great guess.
I don't remember.
Like roots. Like
roots
without
water.
That's
what I was picturing. Yep. The walking mangroves.
Exactly.
Oh,
like
man.
Roots without water.
Roots without water.
Yep.
Wow.
But I thought that was...
I don't remember that line at all, even now hearing it again.
Yeah.
So that one
didn't
stick.
And you've
with
seen
me.
That movie?
Yeah, I've seen it 5 times.
Times.
One with commentary, so 4 with the actual dialogue from Seth.
But yeah, like roots without water. All right.
Good. My turn.
Yep.
Ready? How many cast members were there on screen. Not including puppets, because that first raccoon thing was definitely a puppet. It was awesome.
It was great. Six.
Yes.
Hey, hey.
So we have the four, the scumbag couple, the idyllic couple.
Yep.
We have the cop and Skinny Pete.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very cool.
Very good.
All right. What other horror movie is Toby Wilkins credited to directing?
I know this one.
I know.
The horror movie is The Grudge 3.
Yes.
I don't know if it has a subtitle. Is it like The Grudge 3, The Grudgeoning, or whatever?
I couldn't find it, but we'll say it's The Grudgeoning. Okay. That sounds right.
The creepy long-haired girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just thought of another one I can ask. So
good.
So, in the film, Dennis, I remembered his name, the scumbag, the criminal guy who we end up sympathizing with and rooting for, says that who cannot help us? Who can't even help us?
God?
No. Help. Help can't even help us. I thought that was an awesome line.
That's a great line.
Help can't even help us.
Help can't even help us. Oh, that's really good. All right, here we go. What had outlaw Dennis Farrell been to prison for?
Oh, he hurt and paralyzed a truck driver. He was a truck stealer.
Yes.
But I don't remember. He shoot him? He shot a guy?
A trucker. Yeah,
and
he shot.
He paralyzed him. He ended up dying later.
Yeah.
And so one of the ways that we are sympathizing with him is because he wants his nest egg to go to that guy's widow.
Yes.
And he has a little dog tag with the guy's address on it. His widow's address.
Which leads us to your final trivia question.
Yes. So the address of the widow is 1060 West Addison, and that is an important address. So what is it the address of?
It is an important address. It had piqued my interest when I read this on IMDb because I used to live right down the street from this address. 1060 West Addison is the address of Wrigley Field, home of the Chicago Cubs.
Did you find out why?
Why?
That address was used?
I did not know.
I couldn't remember why, but I went back and listened to the commentary. Just on that section. I didn't listen to the whole thing this time. But Toby said that that was the first American address that he learned because it was in something else. And it was like, maybe Ferris Bueller's Day Off or something? I can't remember. But it was in something else. So that was the first American address he learned.
Huh.
And so he used it in this. So.
Hey, that's really fun. Yeah, what a fun bit of trivia. Well, Jason, you are a horror movie blogger. Do you have any... anywhere we can find you? Where can we find you online?
I am at norealdanger.com. Norealdanger.com.
Cool.
And I post under Jason Danger.
Yeah.
No Real Danger. Because when we watch horror films, we are frightened, but we are in no real danger. So that's what I'm